Welcome to Talking News. We are delighted to have you with us, listening to our presentation by members of the Beach Street Center, Cindy, Jonathan, and Martha. We will be reading local news and happenings from the community newspaper. Lending a Helping Hand. Local businesses support campaign to benefit Belmont Food Pantry by Joanna K. Tuvelis. Gifts of Hope is an annual campaign organized by Gatehouse Media, Inc. to benefit local charitable causes. In Belmont, the beneficiary of the campaign is the Belmont Food Pantry, which helps put food on the table for more than 200 Belmont clients. The campaign would not be successful without the support of local residents and local businesses who support the campaign by making monetary donations. This year, 28 Belmont businesses have joined the Gifts of Hope campaign to benefit the Belmont Food Pantry. Several of them are hosting fundraisers by donating proceeds from sales on November 29th and December 13th, and many of them are making monetary donations. Please remember these local businesses when you are doing your holiday shopping this season, and give the gift that gives back by supporting Gifts of Hope. The Gifts of Hope is an important addition to our annual fundraising at Westcott Mercantile. This event allows us and other businesses to extend our fundraising platform to engage the entire community in the spirit of giving during the holiday season, said Mary Westcott Thompson, owner of Westcott Mercantile in Belmont Center and Cushing Square. Last year's Gifts of Hope campaign raised $65,000. This year, the Belmont Food Pantry needs a little extra financial support to help fund the new temporary location at Mount Hope Church, 51 Lexington Street, Belmont. We now have to pay rent and had to get liability insurance, said Patricia Mulick, director of the Belmont Food Pantry. Jonathan?
Suspect in Waltham murder found guilty by Ignacio LaGuardia. Domingo Mendez, 24, of Belmont, was convicted by a Middlesex Superior Court jury on November 18th of second-degree murder in connection with the March 20th, 2014 death of 17-year-old Tyler Zenko, a Waltham resident and student at Waltham High School. Mendez was also found guilty of a possession of firearm without a license, conspiracy to commit armed robbery, and conspiracy to distribute a Class D substance, according to a press release from Middlesex District Attorney Marion Ryan and Waltham Police Chief Keith McPherson. Judge Kenneth Fishman scheduled sentencing for Thursday, December 8th at 2 p.m. The defendant's actions in this case resulted in the tragic loss of life of a 17-year-old high school student, said Ryan. Today's verdict is a recognition of the fact that the violence that often goes hand in hand with drug deals has tragic consequences. McPherson added, it is our hope that today's verdict brings closure to the family and loved ones of Tyler Zenko. On March 20th, 2014, at approximately 10 p.m., Mendez drove to the Garden Crest apartment complex in Waltham, allegedly joined by Taylor Poulin, 24, of Waltham, who had brought marijuana for an intended drug transaction. Poulin was allegedly carrying a gun. When Poulin and Zenko allegedly got into a physical altercation, Mendez exited the car, took control of the gun, and fired multiple shots, one of which struck Zenko in the back. Mendez and Poulin then fled the scene. Zanko, a member of the high school wrestling team, was transported to Newton Wellesley Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Poulin was located in Windom, Maine on March 26, 2014 by members of the U.S. Marshals Task Force and Windom Police. He was arrested and returned to Massachusetts as a fugitive from justice. Mendez turned himself into the Waltham Police on April 17, 2014. Taylor Poulin, 24, of Waltham, is charged with possession of a firearm in the commission of a felony, accessory after the fact of the murder, possession of a firearm without a license, attempting to commit a crime, conspiracy, two counts of possession with intent to distribute Class D substance, conspiracy to violate drug laws, and violating the drug laws in a school park zone. Poulin is scheduled to go on trial Monday, December 5th, 2016. Cindy?
Find the Perfect Winter Brew by Mary Raines. Beer, wine, and spirits might be the ideal holiday gift for the adult on your list. With a wide selection available, there is something for everyone. They are consumable goods that don't take up space on the shelf forever, and they can be shared with loved ones and friends. Look for these local brands on tap at your favorite restaurant or at the liquor store. Visiting a brewery could be fun, a fun family outing during the holiday season. Cambridge Brewing Company has been at the forefront of the pub brewery movement since its inception in 1989, according to its website. CBC was the first commercial brewery in America to produce a Belgian beer, and its barrel cellar was one of the first of its kind, creating wood-aged beers and utilizing microflora to enhance flavors. Ever had a sake beer hybrid? You can try one at CBC. According to owner Phil Bannatyne, the best brew for the holiday season is the Red Gold Imperial Red Ale, which is ultra hoppy and a big beer with a 7.6% ABV alcohol by volume. What sets it apart from other real hoppy beers is the round, full malt character, Bannatyne wrote in an email. Combined, the hops and malt present a really complex, well-balanced beer. At this time of year, CBC is releasing its Blunderbuss Barley Wine. Barley wines are generally the strongest style of ale, with an alcohol content to rival most wines. In fact, it is this high alcohol content coupled with extensive aging which contributes to the very complex nature of the Blunderbuss. A beverage such as this is meant to be savored and appreciated, much like a fine brandy or cognac, or in the world of wine, a fortified sherry or vintage port. For the first time ever, we are bottling this beer, and it will be available in better beer stores throughout Massachusetts, Bannatyne wrote. His personal favorite brew, if he had had to choose, would be the Flower Child IPA, which is hopped and dry hopped with a big roster of hops, including Simcoe, Centennial, Cascade, Adenum, Chinook, and Amarillo. It's big, bright, and floral with just enough malt to balance. Martha?
Six Projects Vying for Funding by Joanna K. Suvelis. The Community Preservation Committee has received and approved six preliminary applications for projects requesting community preservation funds. The final meeting for applicants to present their projects is December 5th, and in mid-January, the CPC will vote on the final project to recommend to town meeting. The total funds being requested currently is $1,519,000. Grove Street Tennis Courts, $336,000. Sons of Italy Historical Artifacts Preservation, $25,000. Music Hatch at Payson Park, $50,000. Assessment and Project Redevelopment of Sherman Gardens, $173,000. Excuse me. Grove Street. Sorry. Grove Street Park Intergenerational Walking Path Construction Site Plan, $35,000. Quasset Playground Revitalization Project, Phase 2, $900,000. Jonathan?
Yes. Marijuana is legal in Massachusetts, so now what? By Jerry Tuati. Voters in Massachusetts have legalized marijuana, but it will likely be more than a year before the first pot shops open in the state. In the meantime, there's a long to-do list for lawmakers and government officials. Following Tuesday's vote, policymakers will soon begin the process of implementing and regulating pot sales in the Commonwealth, a process that could potentially see legislatures alter the new law by enacting higher marijuana tax rates and adding regulations. I think there's a general agreement that we need to respect the will of the voters and implement this in a reasonable amount of time, and also resolve some issues that are not addressed in the ballot question and some that were addressed but were not best practices based on experiences in Colorado and Washington State, said Senate President Stanley Rosenberg, one of the most prominent elected officials to support the pot legalization ballot question. Voters on Tuesday passed question 4 by a margin of 54% to 46%, paving the way for legalized recreational marijuana. Under the ballot question, it will be legal for adults aged 21 and older to possess and use marijuana effective December 15th. It remains to be seen how much the new law will change in the coming months. Among the items likely to be debated are identifying an initial funding source to implement the law, preventing drugged driving, resolving regulatory overlaps between the medical and recreational marijuana industries, enacting marketing restrictions on pot vendors, and regulating the types of marijuana products and edibles allowed to be sold. Officials, including Rosenberg and State Treasurer Deb Goldberg, have also suggested the proposed pot tax could be hiked to cover the cost of regulating the industry. The ballot question calls for 6.25% sales tax and 3.75% excise tax on pot sales, with cities and towns having the option of imposing an additional 2% tax. The total pot tax of 12% is less than half the tax rate in Colorado. It's the lowest in the country, said Rosenberg, who said he'd want to see state studies on enforcement and regulatory costs before setting a tax rate. After declaring victory Tuesday night, Jim Borgasani, the communications director for the Yes on 4 campaign, urged supporters to stay vigilant and make sure the new law is implemented as intended without drastic changes from state lawmakers. While Rosenberg said some aspects of the law may be modified, he said the core intent will be respected. When you have a big issue of this sort on the ballot, people generally are voting on principle, not voting on every detail in the bill that's been put before them. Cindy?
Belmont to host Turn on Town celebration. Belmont's 26th annual Turn on the Town celebration is set for 6 to 8 p.m. December 1st on Leonard Street in Belmont Center. In anticipation of the event, the bank has launched its fourth annual Santa's Helper contest. This contest offers kids a chance to win a ride in the horse-drawn sleigh with Santa and Mrs. Claus from the tree lighting to the bank's Belmont Center branch. The winners will also be first in line to have their photo taken with Santa inside the bank's branch. Parents may enter their children to win on the bank's website at belmontsavings.com/santashelpers. We are thrilled to once again be sponsoring the annual Turn on the Town, bringing together the community for an extraordinary holiday celebration, said Bob Mahoney, president and CEO of Belmont Savings Bank. Turn on the Town is special to us and allows us to engage with the wonderful residents of Belmont during an especially joyful time of year. We look forward to seeing everyone on the 1st. On December 1st, Santa will arrive and light the tree at 6:20 p.m. He will then ride his sleigh to the Belmont Savings Bank main branch located at 2 Leonard Street to pose for free photos from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Inside the branch, attendees will also have the opportunity to win holiday prize stockings stuffed with goodies provided by local businesses. Outside the branch, bank employees will be handing out hot chocolate and offering free train rides on Moore Street. Inside the bank's executive garage will be a petting zoo. New to this year's celebration will be a Snapchat filter dedicated to the event, available to any Snapchat user in Belmont Center. Save and email photos with a filter to santa@belmontsavings.com for a chance to win a $100 American Express gift card. In addition, other characters will be available outside the branch for photos, including Olaf, Elsa, and Anna from Disney's Frozen. Residents are encouraged to bring non-perishable food items or unwrapped toys to be donated to the Belmont Food Pantry. Martha?
Fake email cancels classes. It was too good to be true. On Thursday, November 17th, many in the Belmont High School community received an email purporting to come from Principal Dan Richards with the subject headed ATTN, Schedule Updates. Hello, Belmont High School. It is my pleasure to announce that all classes today, Thursday, 9/17, are canceled. In addition, this coming weekend will be a homework-free weekend. That is all. Your principal, Dan Richards, the email read. The email was sent around 11:20 a.m. from the email address messenger at plusportal.com. The email showed Richard's name as the sender. The hoax was soon discovered, however. At 11:32 a.m., Richard sent out an email to the entire school community, countermanding the message's instructions. An email went out to students stating classes are canceled for the day. This is not the case. Please ignore the email, his missive read. Richards noted that the school's technology department is looking into the source of the email. Jonathan?
Mother and Son Swim 100 Consecutive Days by Joanna K. Suvalis. A Belmont mother and her four-year-old son recently celebrated the achievement of a goal they set together to swim 100 consecutive days from the summer solstice to the autumn equinox. And the Waltham YMCA played a vital role in making it happen. The mother-son duo actually exceeded their original goal of swimming 95 days in a row by doing it for 100 straight days in 17 different locations in temperatures ranging from 57 to 97 degrees. Amy Joseph has always loved swimming since she was a young girl and wanted to pass on this love of swimming to her son, Pierce, by giving him lessons at the Waltham YMCA. She quickly discovered their time together in the water was a good way to bond, just the two of them. Their adventure required a lot of advanced planning. Joseph's husband, Jamie Douglas, was supportive of the idea, and her parents and babysitters assisted with child care for her younger 18-month-old daughter, Ursula. Locations where they swam included the Mystic Lakes in Winchester, Lake Sunapee in Sunapee, New Hampshire, Marblehead Neck, Minot Beach in Scituate, Walden Pond in Concord, Valley Pond in Weston, Cooper's Beach in Southampton, New York, Oakley Country Club in Watertown, indoor and outdoor pools in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, and Waltham YMCA. Throughout their 100-day journey, Joseph kept a daily journal to record the memories of the day, which turned into a 200-page memoir. The Summer We Swam, which she may publish someday. She recorded the funny and clever things Pierce said. My favorite quote of the summer is difficult to pinpoint, but we were talking about what we would like to do and how we both like to swim. Then all of a sudden he said, "Everybody wants to be who they are, and I'm Pierce." To me, it showed that he was confident and comfortable, something I would like to think he learned during the course of our project, said Joseph. Our main goal was for Pierce to learn water safety and the basic fundamentals of swimming. But more than that, I wanted him to learn that with hard work, discipline, and practice, he could eventually do things he didn't think he could do. Cindy?
Coach resigns amid controversy. Students allegedly stole clothes from vendor tents during race by Bram Berkowitz. The coach of the 5-time state championship Arlington-Belmont boys crew team has resigned amid controversy after club members in October were accused of stealing clothing from vendor tents during the Head of the Charles and other regattas earlier this year. According to an email obtained by The Advocate, longtime varsity boys coach Mark Grinberg resigned his post as head coach on October 29th following the discovery of the alleged theft. The email, which was sent by AB Crew Board co-presidents Mary Medelman and Melissa Brown to the AB Crew Company on November 1st, says students are accused of the theft of clothing and gear from vendor tents at regattas. Grinberg's resignation was voluntary, the email adds. While we cannot comment on the details of this situation, we can tell you that Mark's employment was not terminated, nor was he told that he could not coach the team on Sunday, states the email. His resignation has been accepted by the board. We respect the significant contribution Mark has made to this team and wish him every success in all his future endeavors. The email also states that the Grinberg informed the varsity boys team that there was a video of crew members stealing the clothes at the Head of the Charles, which turned out to be untrue. We want to make it clear that we have verified there is no video, stated the email. We want to assure you that the board takes this whole situation very seriously and are working diligently to resolve the matter. According to a statement sent to The Advocate on November 21st, the AB Crews Board of Directors stated they were in the process of investigating the facts regarding the alleged thefts and had brought in outside counsel to assist in their efforts. In order to protect any individuals who may or may not be involved in the allegations and in order to protect the integrity of the investigation itself, we are unable to comment further, states the board. Our objective is to follow the facts and to conscientiously and responsibly resolve the situation in a fair and appropriate manner and as expeditiously as possible. On Sunday, November 20th, the AB Crew community held a brainstorming session at the Belmont Public Library to generate ideas and recommendations related to the governance and team roles and responsibilities only. Jonathan?
Volunteers sought for Minuteman panel. The Belmont Board of Selectmen is seeking residents interested in volunteering for the Minuteman Regional Vocational Technical High School. The Belmont representative on the Minuteman School Committee will work closely with the Belmont School Committee and the Belmont Superintendent to help ensure a smooth withdrawal from the district in 2020. And explore Belmont's use of Minuteman as a non-member community. Residents should submit a resume and completed volunteer interest form to the Board of Selectmen's office no later than December 1st. Forms are available at Selectmen's office or online at www.belmont-ma.gov. Completed applications can be submitted by mail to 455 Concord Avenue, Belmont, Massachusetts, 02478, faxed to 617-993-2611, or emailed to selectmen@belmont-ma.gov. Martha?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Talking News. Please join us next week.